Whatever's going on in your life, your king, established. Come on, you rule heaven and the earth.
The heavens and the earth in my life.
You're an awesome ruler, God.
Awesome.
Come on, one more time. Just say that one more time. He's in control right now. Your kingdom
established. You rule.
Some wonder today. He's worthy of your praise and your adoration. God, we come to worship you. We come to exalt you, Lord. We thank you that you are a healer, God, that you know my weaknesses. You know, God, my infirmities, Lord God. You know my shortcomings, and you still love me. God, you still run after me. And I thank you, Lord God, that you're the mender of broken hearts. God, we come as people broken today. People in need of healing, and we thank you that there is a balm in Gilead that heals the sin sick whole. We thank you for the balm in Gilead that makes the wounded whole. God, we worship you now because you're a healer, God. We praise you because you're a wonder, God. You're able to do exceeding abundantly above all we can ask or imagine, God. You're a miracle working God. And finally, God, we come to praise you because you are a ruler. You are sovereign. You are in control. And God, sometimes our lives seem like they're out of control. But we thank you that we serve a God who is in control of everything. And we come to submit and surrender to your will and to your way today. Show us your face this morning, God. Manifest your power and your presence in this place. We thank you for your patience and your long suffering. We thank you for your grace and for your mercy. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. Come on, say, oh, what a wonder.
Oh,
what a wonder you are. Come on, one more time. What a wonder.
What a wonder you are.
Hallelujah. Come on, he's an awesome one.
Oh, you are an awesome wonder.
Hallelujah. He's an awesome wonder. Amen. Amen. I'm gonna take one out of my dad's book this morning. It's so good to see your lovely faces. Amen. If y'all notice, I'm a little darker than I was when I left here. But we praise God. This is the longest I've ever been on vacation. We've been gone for 3 weeks, y'all. Amen. Amen. We had a wonderful time. I need another vacation now, one without children this time. Amen. But the kids had a ball. We had a great time. We went to Hilton Head. I had a conference in Hilton Head, so we went there for 7 days. And beach and pool every day for 7 days. Then we went to Orlando, and we gave them a Disney experience. Tracy said we did Disney-ish. We did the free Disney. Amen. Walt Disney done gone crazy. Mickey Mouse has lost his mind. I said, look, it's going to cost us $1,000 to get in this park, so we're going to go around Disney. Amen. So we did Disney-ish for 4 days. We went to Disney Springs, and they did the pool and the water slides. And again, pool, water slides for 4 days. One day, they kept us at the pool for 6 hours. I said, good, these kids do not get tired. Then we drove to Fort Lauderdale. My cousin Derek wanted the family to come down for the 4th of July, so we went and we did Fort Lauderdale for 6 days. We had a good time. So we got black and we got crusty and we had a good time. But I will never drive that distance again. We came back. I'm going to just tell you our story. So our plan was to take 2 days to come back. But see, we just kind of flowing. So we came back on a tire that was kept deflating on us, right? I got new tires while I was there, and the new tires started acting up. So we kept, every several miles, we had to stop and put more air in the tire. And then when we went to go stop, we left Fort Lauderdale. We were supposed to leave Fort Lauderdale on Wednesday. But my cousin said, why don't you just stay till Friday? So we stayed till Friday, and Tracy said, we're going to leave at the crack of dawn. We left at 6 o'clock Friday. And we are supposed to stop overnight. We tried to stop overnight, couldn't find a hotel. So we drove from Fort Lauderdale to D.C. It took us 22 hours with all them children. Amen? But we made it back. So we left Fort Lauderdale at 6 p.m. Friday, and we got here at 3 o'clock on yesterday. So we had a nice little trip. And can we give it up for my wife? She's a soldier. She drove. She knows I'm bad at night, so I did the first three, and then she did another three. We just go back every 3 hours. We would just switch back and forth. And it got to one point, she said, well, hey, we got to find a hotel somewhere, and there was no room in it. I know how Joseph and Mary felt right now. I'm going to one hotel, the lady's just like, don't even come in. There's no room. I said, does anybody have a room anywhere? She said, we got to stop. So what do? We slept at the rest stop for like an hour. Amen. And the kids had a ball. We got back at 3 o'clock yesterday, and guess what they wanted to do? Go to the pool. Have y'all lost your mind? But we had a great time. Amen. Well, we thank God for you all praying for us. Pray for Pastor Max, Sister Dolores. They are still in Florida. They went from Fort Lauderdale to see his brother in Fort Myers, and Anika's actually on her way back today. We had a wonderful time. It's good to get away. It's good to get away and spend time with family. But I came to church every Sunday while I was gone. Amen. That's what the beauty of the internet. We were here last Sunday. Was that a good word? When they see us? Amen. Amen. A week before that, Brother Dave, we watched every week. Tracy says, I have a hard time disconnecting from y'all. Amen. So when I got here this morning, I was so excited to be in the house of the Lord today. We're just excited to be back this morning. Amen. What we're going to do this week, we're going to start like a mini series. It's going to be maybe 2 or 3 weeks. And I called it Salty and Lit. Salty and Lit. We were at the beach. We were at the water for all those days. And so we had all that salt and sand everywhere. But in the Bible in Matthew chapter 5, if you have your Bible, we're going to look at Matthew chapter 5. We're going to talk about what it means that God is calling us as Christians to be salty and lit. Then when you think of that word salty, when I say I'm salty, usually you think of me, look, I got an attitude. I'm upset about something. But this one, we're going to just kind of use that play on words. But what God wants, he's calling us as believers. He wants us to be salty. And what we're going to do this morning, we're going to just look at four characteristics of salt and see how they compare to us and how we, as the body of Christ, should be salty in this world in which we live, that God is calling us to be in. Amen? Amen. Can we look, if you have your Bible, you can turn to Matthew chapter 5. Matthew chapter 5, verse 13. Today we're going to be dealing with verse 13. But I'm going to read up to verse 16, Matthew 5. I'm reading from the NIV. It says, you are the salt of the earth, but if salt loses its saltiness, how can it be made salty again? It is no longer good for anything except to be thrown out and trampled underfoot. You are the light of the world, like a city on a hilltop that cannot be hidden. No one lights a lamp and then puts it under a basket. Instead, a lamp is placed on a stand where it gives light to everyone in the house. Verse 16, in the same way, let your good deeds shine out for all to see so that everyone will praise your heavenly Father. This morning, we're going to be talking about being the salt of the earth. You are the salt of the earth. I don't know about you. You know, my wife can cook. And so she always loves, you know, and I praise God because my daughter, she's taking on those tendencies. She loves to season stuff. And she, when I get up to cook on the grill, she's showing me what mommy put this, how much salt mommy puts on this, and she does that. But there's nothing worse than going down and sitting down next to a meal, and you get it, and it's just bland. Anybody ever had bland food? And so, this morning, and we look at our passage in Matthew chapter 5, verse 13. He just finished giving the Beatitudes, and he's talking to Christians, and he's telling us that we ought to be two things. Number one, we ought to be salt, and we ought to be light. And last week, when I just was listening as Brother Chandler was talking, he said, when they see us, what does the world think? What does the world see when they see us? And in Matthew chapter 5, it tells us right here what we ought to be, what we ought to be in this world in which we live. We ought to be the salt of the earth, impacting the world with the gospel of Jesus Christ as it has affected our lives. And what we're going to look at this morning, we're going to look at four characteristics of salt. When you think about salt, what do you think about? Number one, the first thing when you think about salt, like I just talked about food, what salt does, salt seasons. Salt seasons. What does it do? It adds flavor. You could take a meal that was otherwise bland and you put some salt on it and it changes the whole nature of that thing. All it takes is a little, you can get something, it can go from being a bad meal, a bad experience to a wonderful experience just by adding a little bit of what? Salt. Salt, what does it do? It seasons. And he says, you ought to be the salt of the earth. You ought to be the salt of the world. What we ought to do, we ought to add, we ought to enhance the environment where we are. As a person, as a member of the body of Christ, as a follower of Christ, wherever environment that God places you, you ought to season it up. You ought to enhance it. You ought to add flavor because of what God has done in you. The Bible said, listen, in Psalm chapter 34, verse 8, taste and see that the Lord is good. People should be able to see that God is good because of the flavor that you add to the environment. My question is, are people craving to taste God? Are people, listen, do they have a good experience of what God is like? Do they have a good experience of what a Christ follower is to be because of the flavor that you add? Everything that is good in that steak is enhanced. The flavor is brought out, why? By the salt. And things that are good about God ought to be brought out by the flavor and how you enhance the environment. And the thing about salt is this. Salt, when you put it on it, you don't necessarily see it, do you? If it's all on the surface and you can see it, then it's probably too much of it. The thing about salt, it is that you might not be able to see it, but you can tell when it's missing. You might not be able to see it, but you can tell when it's missing. And I always said about us in this church, in this community, if we were to leave this community, can the community tell that we're missing? Not because, listen, they don't see our sign anymore. Not because they don't see us driving in anymore. But has the salt enhanced this neighborhood? Has the Washington Christian Center enhanced the environment in such a way that if we were to uproot ourselves, the neighborhood would say, something's missing. In your neighborhood, would your street, will your neighbors be able to tell there's something missing if you were to leave? Not because they don't see your car in front of your driveway anymore, but because you enhance the environment in your neighbor, in your area for good. Will your job be able to tell? Some of y'all know, if y'all didn't know, I was talking about being brave when I left here. And I forgot to give you an example of being brave. I should have given you an example of being brave. Those of you who don't know, I quit my job a couple weeks ago. Amen. Amen. You can clap on that. I quit the question is, will the clinic, will Minnesota Avenue Health Center, will they sense something different? But did I enhance the environment where I work to such a degree where people will know that I'm gone? Not because there's a different person seeing patients, but because I impacted somebody's life. What God is calling you, he said, you're salt. Just like you can tell when a meal hasn't been properly seasoned, the world around you should be able to tell, listen, there's something missing because you're not there. You ought to enhance the environment in such a way, and it's so subtle that you ought to do. It's not, like I said, you can't see the salt. When you see the salt, it's too much on it. You don't have to be Jesus and people to death. That's too salty. When you put too much salt on it, it's like, oh, you got to take this back. I can't eat this. It's going to make my blood pressure go up. But when you season it just right, you don't have to brush the salt off the top. When you season it just right, it's got the right flavor that it's not detestable, but it is but delicious to you. That's how we ought to be. Sometimes we're trying to be salty. We're salty, and what we do, we rub people the wrong way. We give the connotation of being salty like the negative connotation of salt. But what we ought to do, we ought to subtly influence and enhance wherever we are so that it makes that thing better. Because why? We represent who? The King of Kings. And listen, the Bible says every good and perfect gift comes down from the Father of heavenly lights. Right? And he is good. God is light. And in him there is no darkness. No darkness at all. We're going to talk about light next week. But if we serve a God who is what? Good. Then if we are salt, we ought to be his little carriers of his goodness everywhere we go. So wherever we go, the goodness of God ought to show up. My question is, are you being salt? Are you being salt? Because listen, if you look at the passage, he says, look, you ought to be salt. But there is an indication that it's some salt that is no longer salty. He said it's no longer good for anything except to be thrown out and trampled underfoot. See, we want to be the good kind of salt. Salt that has the effect that it's supposed to have. Amen? Salt adds flavor. Colossians chapter 4, verse 6 says, let your conversation always be full of grace, seasoned with salt, so that you may know how to answer everyone. You ought to be the part when things that come, my lifestyle ought to be seasoned with salt and minister grace to anybody who hears and sees. Amen? The first thing about salt, what it does, salt seasons. But the second thing that salt does, salt slows corruption. Salt slows corruption. Salt is a preservative. Salt is a preservative. In November, Tracy and I went to the Cayman Islands on a cruise for her cousin's birthday. And I was, amazed. We went to, I think it was a Grand Cayman. And the only thing I really remember about Grand Cayman to me is how much salt. That was the tour guide told us, the only real industry there was salt. And what happened is, back long, many, many, many years ago, before refrigeration, the area was booming because they had so much salt. A large amount of the salt that the world got came from that area. But now when refrigeration came in, listen, all the stuff, all the factories, everything left because there was no need for the salt. Many, many years ago, that's how they preserved the food, was through salt. What salt does, salt is used to slow corruption. And I'm here to tell you, as the body of Christ, as Christians, that's exactly what God is calling us to do. We ought to be a preservative in the environment in which we live. We ought to slow corruption. I just was thinking about Genesis chapter 18. If you have your Bible, you can turn there, but it should be on the screen. Genesis 18 was Sodom and Gomorrah, and Abraham was trying to bargain with God. God, please do not destroy this city. And he was asking God, if you find 50 righteous people there, will you destroy it? And this is what the Lord told to Abraham. He said, listen, if I find 50 righteous people in the city of Sodom, I will spare the whole place for their sake. I will spare the whole place for their sake. Listen, as believers, what we ought to do, we ought to preserve the environment that we're in. We ought to preserve the environment that we're in. Listen, the Romans said that there was nothing more important than the sun and salt, because in a time without refrigeration, the only way they could preserve meat was to salt it. What they would actually do, and some of y'all who grew up and people who had farms or whatever, I know my grandfather did, they would rub salt in the meat to keep it fresh. And that's what we ought to do. We ought to preserve, we ought to enhance the environment for good, but we ought to be able as believers to preserve the environment. Just like Abraham said, listen, God, will you preserve this evil city if there's 50 righteous? Well, goes on to find out there wasn't 50. And then he said, how about for 40? And how about for 30? How about for 20? How about for 10? The Lord went on to say that if there's 10 righteous people, I will spare the city. That shows you what God thinks about us, that he will preserve as his people. We are there to slow corruption. We are there to be a preservative. And listen, the ultimate corruption, what is sin? Sin is the ultimate corrupter. And the Bible says that we are all born in sin and shaped in iniquity, that the wages of sin is death. The word of God says that there is none righteous, no, not one. All of us are sinners. All of us are born what? Corrupt. And we're on our way to a Christless hell, to be eternally separated from God. And what he has done now, he has put you and I into this world to slow corruption. We ought to slow the corruption around us. He said it's now in 2 Corinthians, it is as though he is making his appeal through us. The world around us, God wants to listen. He said in his word, it says, and Peter says, it is not my will, 2 Peter 3, not my will that any perish, but all come to repentance. And what he wants to do, he wants to use you and I to slow the corruption. He wants to use you and I to be a preservative in the world that we live in. The reason why it's able to slow corruption and to purify, salt also purifies, is because what it is, salt naturally has an antibacterial agent in it. And bacteria was caused of infection. And in the ultimate infection is sin. And my question to us and to myself today is the corruption around me being slowed? Is the moral degradation in our society getting any better because I'm in it? We're in a world that is going, it's rapidly running away from God. But as a preserving agent, we ought to be making a difference where we are. Wherever the church is, we ought to make a difference. And I'm here to tell you, church, we're not making a difference. We're not making a difference. And I'm convicted because, you know, sometimes when I'm so busy, I have gotten so, matter of fact, and I'm supposed to be slow in corruption, but what's happening is I'm getting corrupted. Amen. Sometimes I begin to adopt the world's philosophy of how to live a better life. And we even twist the gospel and we even twist our faith to make Christianity nothing more than a good self-help thing. The Bible's a self-help book. How I can have a better family, how I can have better finances, how I can have be better on my job. And those are all things. Those are all good things. But see, as Christians, we ought to have better families. We ought to have better finances. We ought to have better, all of those things, not just for the sake of having them, but so that we can show the world, listen, we can be what? We can be salty so that we can turn them to Christ. Are you being a preservative in your area, on your job? Are you a preservative on your job? Are you slowing the corruption? I said salt is designed to season, to enhance flavor. And salt is also designed to slow corruption. It's a preservative. And the reason why it's a preservative is because it has an active antibacterial agent. And bacteria causes infection. Bacteria causes sickness. And that leads me to the third thing about salt. Salt is also a salve. S-A-L-V-E. Salt is a healing agent. Many of you, most of you know that I'm a podiatrist, and I work with people who are sick, and I work with people who have wounds. A lot of my patients have wounds, infected wounds. And what we do, a lot of the healing agents and wound healing agents have salts in them. Because I told you, salt is an antibacterial. Salt has not only keeps things from spoiling, but salt also has the ability to be a healing agent. Do you know in the environment which you are you're in that God is calling you to be an agent of healing? There are people who have emotional hurt who need healing. There are people who have all kinds of pain and psychological hurt. They need healing. And we ought to bring them to the one who's able to heal them. We ought to be a healing agent. And the thing about salt, that's why we get that term from putting salt in the wound. Anybody ever had put salt in the wound before? Anybody y'all ever had one of them little cold sores in your mouth? And I remember I've had them. They tell you, put some salt on it. Man, that thing burned. Does it not burn? When you got that open sore and you had to put salt in that wound, and that's why they all say, man, listen, when you say something, it's like putting salt in the wound because it burns. It hurts. But listen, it hurts, but it heals. What I'm saying is, as salt in the environment, we ought to be a salve. We ought to be something that brings healing. But in order to bring healing, sometimes we're going to make some folks uncomfortable. See, a salve, sometimes the stuff that I got to put, I get this all day long. I have a salve, but I'm going to put on it some salt. I'm going to put on a wound, something that I'm going to put on a wound. And the person in the chair be like, hold up, doc, that's going to hurt, ain't it? Yeah. For a minute. But my question to you, do you want this to heal or not? See, it's going to require some discomfort first, and some initial pain, some initial hurt has to happen in order for you to get to the healing. And what you got to know is, as a soul, sometime when you declare God's word, everybody's not going to be jumping and say, oh, give me that. In order for you to be salt, you got to be comfortable with making people uncomfortable. Because the Bible said, when Jesus, he said, listen, if you're going to follow me, you got to do what? Take up your cross and follow me. When you're going to follow Jesus, sometimes it's going to require you to be uncomfortable. But guess what? There is healing in it. The Bible in 2 Chronicles chapter 7, verse 14 says, if my people who are called by my name will humble themselves and pray, seek my face, turn from their wicked ways, then will I hear from heaven, I will forgive their sins, and will what? Heal the land. The healing is directly tied to his people. He does the healing, but he's going to heal them through what? If my people, as the church, what God is calling you to be a salve, to be a healing agent. Listen, again, like I said, you can pour salt on a wound. If you pour salt on a wound initially, it burns. It makes people uncomfortable, but it eventually has a healing effect. Are you having a healing effect or a hurting effect? And sometimes we call ourselves trying to help bring healing, but it's really not, our intentions ain't good. I'm going to tell you, sometimes in the church, people associate Christians with hurt more than healing. There's a whole term for it, church hurt. Anybody heard of him, church hurt? Yeah. There's some folks who don't even go to church because they got what? Church hurt. Somebody in church done hurt them. And it ain't because they were trying to bring healing. It's just because it had evil intention behind it. And we know our Savior. If we're going to be enhance the environment, if we're going to be a preservative, we got to be willing to be people that heal. And we got to understand. And the thing about this is me as a physician, what I do to people, I said, listen, before I go in there, I don't just go start pouring salt and stuff and pouring stuff that burn, pouring alcohol on people. I'll tell them, listen, it's going to hurt for a second. It's going to hurt for a second. But listen, I got to put this on here in order for us to heal. My intentions are good. And see, that's the thing. We got to let them know, listen, I'm going to tell you this truth. You may not like to hear it, but I'm going to tell you the truth. But this is what God wants to do. You know, sometimes we just want to tell the truth. If you want to tell the truth, the scripture tells us to speak the truth in love. A lot of times in church, we're big on telling people truth, but we're not big on giving them love. I can speak the truth. I can tell you, listen, brother, I got to put this right here. I'm showing you what this is silver nitrate. It's a salty agent, and it's going to burn you right now. But what it's going to do, when I put this on the wound, it's going to stop it from bleeding. And you hold on, and what I do, I put it on the wound, and sometimes I'll just blow on it. I had to put it on there, but I'm going to give you something to try to help it get better a little bit. And eventually, guess what? We're going to get to the healing together. Well, God is calling us to be salt, y'all. He wants us to enhance the environment. He wants us to add flavor wherever we are. The reason why I told y'all before, people aren't running from Christ as much as they're running from Christians. Because why? We are not showing his goodness. We don't look like him all the time. We ought to add flavor to the environment. We ought to preserve the environment. We ought to slow the corruption. And we ought to be a salve that heals. Finally, the final thing that salt does. Salt, it is a salve. Salt slows corruption. Salt seasons. Finally, salt stimulates thirst. Anybody had a bag of potato chips? What you want? Something to drink with that, don't you? You get something salty. When you get something salty, you got to have something to drink with that thing, just to kind of wash it down. And what God is calling us to be is people who make the world thirsty for Christ. Because we're there, they ought to want, listen, they ought to want to know, listen, they ought to want him. It's like the woman at the well. The woman at the well in John chapter 4. John chapter 4 verse 13 says, Jesus replied, anyone who drinks this water will soon become thirsty. Again, he was talking to this woman at the well. For those of you who don't know the story, there was a woman and Jesus had gone through her town. And he wasn't even supposed, first of all, she was a woman, so he wasn't supposed to be talking to her. And then she was a Samaritan woman. And so he was talking to this woman there, a Samaritan woman that the Jews looked down as dogs. And they looked at down them as, it was a racist time where they looked at them as less than. And Jesus took time to go by and talk to this woman who nobody thought he should be talking to. And she was a woman, and Jesus told this woman everything about herself. She was drawing water at the well, and Jesus said, listen, you're drawing water at the well, and what I love about it, Jesus met her where she was. That's exactly what we ought to be doing. He met her where she was, and he said, listen, what I want to do, I've got a water. The water that you're drawing out of there, you're going to keep being thirsty by drinking that, but if you drink the water that I give to you, you'll never thirst. And Jesus told this woman everything about herself. Jesus told her, listen, go bring me your husband. She said, listen, I don't have a husband. He said, that's right, you've had five husbands. And the person you're living with right now, you're shacking. That's not your husband either. But he still loved on this woman and told her everything. And he said, listen, what he says in this passage, he says, anyone who drinks the water, this water that you're drawing out will become thirsty again. But those who drink the water I give will never be thirsty again. It becomes a fresh, bubbling spring within them, giving them eternal life. What do we ought to be doing? We ought to be stimulating thirst in the world around us. The Bible says, listen, the people ought to ask you a reason for the hope that you have. When they ask you, you ought to be ready to tell them. People, that indicates, oh, people ought to, I'm thirsty. Why are you so different? What is it about you? You always seem to make the environment better. And when they get a taste, like I said, Psalm 34, taste and see that the Lord is good. And because we are salty, because we have impacted the environment, we ought to what? Stimulate thirst. How many people in our world, how many people in our surroundings want to know more about my relationship with Christ just because they watch me? Or do people say, look, I don't want to be no hypocrite. How many of y'all have heard that? They know some Christian somewhere, and they say, I know I need to get my life, but when I'm ready, I'll do it, because I don't want to be a hypocrite. Because you haven't made them thirsty. We ought to be making the world thirsty for more of Jesus, because we enhance the flavor. You know, a lot of times in the middle of the night, my wife will come and ask me, can you go get me a bag of chips? Sometimes she does. She does that. But when I bring the chips, I better not come back with the chips without a cup of juice or something. The chips and the drink got to go together. Can you go get me some chips? I'll go get the chips, and I already know. And then sometimes, I'm to the point now, sometimes I'll make sure that I have them already. I have some chips upstairs, because who wants to get downstairs in the middle of the night after bed? So every now and then, when I'm thinking and planning ahead, I'll make sure there's a small bag of chips and some juice already up here. So she'll tell me if her, because sometimes, maybe you know, my wife is diabetic, and sometimes if she, her sugar drops, she needs something, you know, so she wants something salty, and then she wants to drink after it. So I got to plan ahead. When people taste you, do they automatically want more of the Savior? When they experience you in their life, do they want to know more about Jesus? If not, then if we look back at our passage, look at our passage in Matthew. Matthew chapter 5, verse 13. You are the salt of the earth. But if the salt loses its saltiness, how can it be made salty again? It is no longer good for anything except to be thrown out and trampled underfoot. I was reading about the salt. It said in likelihood what Jesus was referring to was the salt that was generally garnered from the seashore of the Dead Sea. All right, that was in this Dead Sea was a very salty sea. So much salt in it, stuff just flows. Nothing can live in it. That's why they call it the Dead Sea. It's so salty. And gathering the salt from the Dead Sea, sand would sometimes get mixed with the pure salt. And when that happened, it would be impossible to separate the sand from the salt. And the salt would lose its power to do what it was supposed to do. Watch this. The sand would get so mixed up with the pure salt that when what that happened, it would be impossible to separate the sand from the salt, and the salt would lose its power to do what it was supposed to do. My question is, have you gotten so mixed up with the world that you've lost the power and the ability to impact the world? He said, because that kind of salt, he said, that salt, it's no good. It can't be made salty again. It's no use for it. I can't sift out the sand out of it. So what do? You just throw it out and walk on it. Man. Church, what an indictment on us. Have we become to the point where we have gotten so mixed up with instead of impacting the environment has impacted us so much that we've lost our effectiveness. And that we can no longer impact the world. Matter of fact, it's detestable. There's nothing more detestable than a non-Christian, than a person who calls themselves Christian, but they saw you hanging out at the club with them last night doing everything they don't want. Hello. You're doing just like I'm doing, and now you want to come and talk to me about Jesus? Please. Throw it out and trample it underfoot. We ought to be distinct and different so that we can season the environment, enhance the environment, so that we can save, slow down the corruption, so that what we can do, we can go into the environment and make people thirst for the Savior. If we're not doing that, today's the day God wants to make some changes. Amen? See, but unlike salt, see, this says the salt is no good except to be thrown out and trampled on. I told you, that salt that they took out of the Dead Sea, they got mixed up with the sand. It couldn't be used anymore. But I'm so glad that we serve a God. He said we are to be salt, but we're a little different than salt because I may have gotten mixed up with the world, but God has a way. Guess what? He's able to sift that thing out of me. And he can repackage and use you. Aren't you glad about that? I may have been salt that was not savory before, but today God said, listen, I have the ability to listen. They may not have had the technology to sift out the sand, but I have the ability to sift out all of the impurities in you and clean you up and purify you and use you for my glory. That's an awesome thing. So if you have in your past failed to be salty, today's the day you can start being salty again. God is calling us to be salt and to be light, to make an impact on the world in which we live so that they thirst for the Savior. My question is, is there anybody here today who's ready to make that commitment? Can we stand together? Can we stand? Salty and lit. Every head bowed, every eye closed. God is calling you to be salty and lit. Today we talked about being the salt of the earth. What he wants you and I to do is to stay salty. It's so tempting. It's so easy to be able to get the sand of the world's influence mixed up and cause us to lose our effectiveness. And if that's you today, if you've gotten mixed up in, with some of the things in this life that you're not being effective and you haven't been as salty as you should have been, and we are not adding flavor to the environment, if you haven't been that preservative to slow the corruption that God is calling you to do, if you haven't been that healing balm, that salve that brings healing, and you want to ask God to forgive you, he can forgive you right now. It's that simple. With every head bowed and every eye closed, if you're a follower of Christ and you say, Pastor Dwayne, I admit I have not been as salty as I should be, and today I want to make a change. I want you to raise your hand. Let me pray for you. Is that you today? I see that hand. So someone else who said, listen, I am a follower of Christ, but I must admit I have not been adding the flavor in the environment. I could be more salty in a good way. If that's you, you raise your hand. Let me pray for you. I see that hand. I see that hand. I see those hands. Anyone else? I see those hands. Lord, help me to be more salty. Help me to make an impact in the environment in which I live on a daily basis. Help me not to get corrupted with the world's sand so that I can be effective and do what I'm supposed to do. If you raise your hand, I want to pray with you and for you. Amen. Why don't you come to, you can come at this time. You could come to the altar if your hands were raised and say, yes, Pastor Dwayne, I admit that I have not been as salty as I should be. I have not been as effective. I can be a more effective witness for him. And God, I want you to help empower me. I want you to empower me so that I might make an impact on my environment so that people are thirsty for the Savior. Dear God, Heavenly Father, I thank you for my brothers and sisters who've come. And I thank you, Lord God, that everything we need for life and godliness is indwells in us, Lord. These have come and said, listen, Father, I have accepted you as my Lord and Savior, but I want to make more of an impact. I want to begin to enhance the environment, to add the environment, Lord God, to bring out your goodness so that the world can see it. Help me to be a healing salve in my community. Lord God, cause me, Lord God, to slow the corruption, to be a preservative in the environment, and live in such a way that people thirst for more of you. Do it in their lives today. God, Lord God, cause them to resist the temptation to be influenced by the world so that they lose their effectiveness. Lord, cause them not to lose their effectiveness. And I pray, Heavenly Father, that they'll do it in such a way, Lord God, that people sense and that their love for you and their love for people is palpable. And I thank you, Lord, for your forgiveness. I thank you that today is another chance, that they stand here today and say, God, I dropped it yesterday, but you're a God who gives another chance today. We're thankful for your mercy and for your grace and for your forgiveness and another opportunity to get it right. In Jesus' name, and we pray, God, that each of them, whatever environment that you place them in, that environment will no longer be the same. We thank you now. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. Can we give God a hand of praise?